Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, September 27th, 2012. Bold, beautiful, vibrant, spiritual, provocative, biblical, innovative. These are all words that have been used to describe the paintings of tonight's guest, artist Patty Kingsley. Patty's about to open up her first major solo exhibition this coming weekend, and she's on the line from her hometown of Bowmanville to talk about her art and the upcoming show. But before we get to the interview, let's listen to Mercy Seat from Glenn Soderholm's This Bright Sadness CD.
I'm backing down, I'm backing down. Troops are gathering on my left and my right. I'm turning round, yeah, I'm turning round. Because I hear the sound of a marching feet. They're getting closer and I'm feeling the heat. Somebody call for a hasty retreat and get me down to the mercy seat. I wanna know, I wanna know. Because it's cold in this desert and I'm needing some space. Oh, let me go, won't you please let me go. Because I hear the sound of the marching feet. They're getting closer and I'm feeling the heat. Somebody call for a hasty retreat and get me down to the mercy seat.
And now to our interview with Patty Kingsley. Good evening, Patty.
Good evening.
Now, let's give our listeners a little bit of background about who you are and what you've been doing. How did you get your start as a painter?
As a painter, I started drawing and painting in a very young age. Found myself sitting with sketchbooks on the back porch, starting a company when I was 16 years old. And that has carried me through as my main income source to today.
Well, how did you get to that point where you decided that this is what you're going to do to be your main income source?
For the love of it, also by default, as one ages, you do what you can do healthy. And my body, where I thought I would end up doing some more professional sports, didn't hold through the course of time. And my parents had said to me, you have to do something other than just physical activities, so pick art or music. And mm-hmm. I chose art.
Now, when you were looking at picking art and when you were growing up in that, what did you find was influencing you as an artist?
Oh, what would influence me the most is the comfort I found in creating. And for me, whether I'm watching young people sit on the edge of a bunk bed at camp playing a saxophone, or whether I myself would sit on the edge of a bed and draw, whenever life hit in all of its good parts or challenging pieces, I would celebrate it in art, or I would find a place to go inside of drawing and painting and creating that gave me great joy. So that's the automatic place I go to whenever mm-hmm. I face challenges or joy.
Now, when you're looking at that, were there any particular people or artists that you found yourself being drawn to and using as an influence or as an inspiration?
Yes, two main people, one living, one historic. Monet, historically, because he said, I see light and I paint around it. Mm-hmm. Today, I would say, I see God and I attempt to paint around him. In the living folks, I have a mentor who is still in the United States, was in Canada for years as a guitar teacher of mine when I was young. As I became older and into my 20s, he was the one who said, you need to rent a studio. And he rented a studio with me alongside each other. He created, because he was also a musician and a painter.
Mm-hmm.
And out of that, really face down, if you like, the fears or the anxieties that prevent creating, so that I believe now, as artists, you need to be able to turn on creative activities just like you turn the tap on in the water, on or a water spout on. You can't simply say, oh, you know what, I can't create today. I have a mental block. Oh, I don't feel like it. Or, well, now I feel like it at 11:30 at night.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be a discipline to the art world and to creating. And so that has been honed to the point where now I can sit down and create, thank God, and produce on demand, if you like regular and reasonable people do within the framework of a job.
Yeah, I find that interesting whenever we read about writers that have writer's block and things like that. I'm thinking, okay, be a journalist, you know, where you have to write. I mean, you know, you've got deadlines, you've got, you know, stories to get in, and you can't just sit there looking at your computer screen going, I can't do this, and go off and do something else. You have to sit there and you say discipline yourself to actually do that act of creating.
And sometimes I remember when I used to drive by my studio door and all I could do was look at it. I couldn't go in, but I would make myself drive by it. Then I went to the point where I was young and I would stop at McDonald's and pick up a sandwich and go in and sit down and eat it. Still couldn't create. But I would keep myself going back to the same space until the time when I could create. And as soon as I got into my studio, I was active in the process of creating. So yeah, that becomes a clear discipline, and it is, as you say, you commit to it. For me, people say to me, how can you sell your paintings? They're your paintings. I say, I feed my family with those paintings. How is it you go to work every day and give up your life to care for your family?
Yeah.
Same process.
I think a line I've heard during the editing process as somebody's trying to cut things down, and that is you know, kill your darlings. You know, don't become so attached to the work that you can't see what you need to do with it.
Or only pick one aspect of one genre of what you do. That's the other piece. I see myself now as a general practitioner of the arts, just like there is a GP in a community, or there is one insurance salesperson, or there's one mechanic. In a larger community, you have more. But the point is that if someone comes to me and says, I need watercolor, well, then I do a watercolor.
Yeah.
If the next week I switch, and this summer I was doing that, I did a watercolor for a family, the next day I switched and did an abstract acrylic. And people say, well, how do you do that? It's my job. Yeah. It is my job to be skilled and the grace of God to be gifted in multiple disciplines, and I have to shift to some degree in order to start the new project. I'm just pleased that, if you like, another car came into my garage, and not all of them are Maserati.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've seen actors do the same thing with roles. You know, they'll go from a comic role to a dramatic role, you know, from one, you know, in one step to the next. Again, it's that whole, this is your art, you've got to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm. So. And that is really, if you like, that's almost the second step for those who are listening, who are saying, well, how do I start in the arts? How do you become this? I am becoming an artist every day. The first step was drawing every day.
Yeah.
Or every other day. The second step, starting a company. The third step, pursuing every day the art, the discipline of the art. So in the sense, even for myself, where I create and I create art pieces, I also write information that goes alongside of them. I can say all my life I'm not a writer, but I am inspired to create art.
Mm-hmm.
Need some help in tweaking or editing, but again, every morning I write. Simply because I have to create out of a foundation that is a rich soup, if you like, of text and understanding and insight, and out of that is born images, and they join together. So do I fancy myself a writer as you would, Robert? Not in the same way, but I really don't mind whether or not it's the art someone focuses on or the words. So back to the process of, you know, you have mentors, you have folks where you discipline yourself, and then it becomes interdisciplinary or multiple disciplines that are used. Because the point is creativity for me, and the messaging of it. It is not that I can only be a painter, or I can only be a musician, or a singer-songwriter, or I can only be a journalist. I need to be skilled in as many of these areas as I can that are complementary to the message of what I'm attempting to put into the public marketplace.
Looking at that, and I'm looking at some of the different disciplines you've used, and like you said, you can go from water to acrylic and that. Is there any one medium that you prefer?
Mm. I love them all for what they can accomplish at the hand of a painter. I really have a great admiration for watercolorists. I would say that is the weakest area for me. So I my hat's off to folks. Every single one brings its own joy. What is easiest for me and where I spend the most time is in mixed media. Because it would appear for some reason that when new materials and methods come into the marketplace, I automatically start filtering them into the art. So my joy, when I was an exhibit designer and display artist, my joy is walking through Canadian Tire, you know, or Home Depot, or the local hardware store downtown that has something unique that has not been used in a window display or in the Metro Home Show or in the largest retail development in Havana since the Revolution. The joy for me, and in that case, in the giant job I did in Cuba for that government through a Canadian organization, the work I did down there, I took LED lights from that were being put underneath cars or neon and refabbing it so that it could be shipped overseas to be used in window displays. So for me, it's translating methods and media into two-dimensional or three-dimensional art shape or space, and then representing that into the community in a way that people say, wow, I've never seen this before. Hence why I'm doing LED illuminated work now, when I've probably found no more than four or five artists the world over doing it. People will say, oh, I've never seen this before. And I say, well, it is out there. Creativity happens around the globe all at the same time, and no person has a corner on it. We can trademark, we can copyright everything, but creativity is like popcorn. And if I'm seeing it, I'm quite confident that someone else in the world is doing the same thing.
Well, what we need to do right now is take a quick break and continue our conversation with visual artist Patty Kingsley and find out about her first major solo exhibition. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
Our cavalier. In harmony we sang to the road in the dusty pages. I wrote you a song that sung rather often. Someday in harmony we will sing. Old time I was chasing the sun with no shoes until I could run no more. Old time I was listening underneath the stars to the symphony of the song. In harmony we sang to the moon in the dusty pages. So quickly pass me, so quickly pass me. Oh, time you move so quickly, so quickly pass me, so quickly pass me.
Oh. Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to O Time from the Hibernation CD by Nabi. And for those of you who are living in the Guelph area, Glenn Soderholm and Nabi will be performing at a coffee house this coming Sunday. For details, go to www.tworiverschurch.tumblr.com. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Patty Kingsley. Patty, you were talking just before we went to the break about some of the different things you're doing and your fascination with finding new things in art. One of the new things that's come up for you is the Show of Faith exhibit. How did that whole thing come about?
Well, about a year and a half ago, I was talking to one of my mentors and also the president of Artisan Christian Testimony International, representing Artisan Christian Testimony Incorporated in Canada, Robert, as well as yourself.
Yep. And we're the word of disclosure, Patty and I do know each other from ACT Canada and have spent many a weekend at Mission Fest together standing and talking to people about it. So,
well, through the leadership of that organization, of course, because I'm a ministry department in that setting as well, but through that, in speaking with Dr. Byron Spradlin, you know, I said to him, really, it's a show of faith. And he just said to me at that time, Patty, that is, you need to trademark that. That is alive. My passion in the public marketplace, I do things within churches, and that's it's an incredible gift to me and an honor and a privilege. Having worked in churches for a few years now, what's happened is that the marketplace is hungry for the curious things of God and for the supernatural or transcendent values that are expressed on the canvas works or three-dimensional works that I do. As a result, it has almost pulled me into the community. As I've painted for the Ontario Hospice and Palliative Care Annual General Meeting a couple of years ago at a conference called One Vision, One Voice, my heart is to go in and paint live for communities, individuals, organizations, and nations. And as a result, I'm producing these pieces of artwork. And they're being utilized by individuals who believe in Jesus and those who do not yet believe. However, they enjoy the message of the images, or they find themselves or their hearts reflected on the canvas and the journey that they're on. So the privilege for me is saying to people, I will show you my faith. Excuse me, if you can show me yours. If you're willing to, that dialogue and exchange through the view of a canvas or piece of artwork, it's really a conversation starter. And so I put my artwork up. Someone's attracted to it. It's like having a bait on the end of a fishing line. Now, I sell artwork, and that's lovely when someone's attracted to it. The greater conversation for me is not whether that particular individual purchases a piece, but in fact, they are willing to share their heart with me and share their journey and say, this is what I see. Wow, this has touched me. When people stand in front of a postcard rack and they're weeping, and you don't know why they're weeping, but they are weeping, and you find out a year or two later, in this case, I am thinking of a person who was at Mission Fest who came up to me and said, I know you already. I said, you do. She goes, I was in front of your postcard rack, and I said, you were the one who was weeping. And she said, yes, I was. And at that time, I was supposed to die, but I'm alive. And I'm saying, okay, I said to this gal, would you please send me your story confidentially and how much of it I can share? I still have yet to hear the details of what happened in her life. All I know, she asked for permission if she could read the back of every postcard I had created so far on the art. And she did that. And that was all I gave her, a postcard rack. But for some reason, it impacted her life. And I'm saying, wow. Okay, let me be a scribe on canvas in a manner that opens a window, hopefully a window into heaven, where people can touch the transcendent power of God or the nature of God. They will interpret it, they will filter it, they will apply it in their lives just as we all do, believers or not yet believers. And it's my joy when I can do that.
So how did it move from that moment at Mission Fest to now doing the exhibition in Port Perry?
Well, Kent Farndale Gallery. Kent Farndale is a 52-year collector. She's older than 52 years old. She's been collecting Canadian art for 52 years. A year and a half ago, I asked her if she could come to my home and look at this new type of media I was using to see whether or not I had a niche market for believers or whether or not I could take this particular method and media to the marketplace. Would it stand the test of the Canadian art market? And she indicated to me that, in fact, it would. That it was more than just a niche market. Now, what I was doing was using mixed media on organza, which is a sewing fabric. People make beautiful dresses out of it. They make use it for theatrical productions to create costumes and effects. What I've done is created a method of stretching it on a wooden frame, and it's a translucent image that's plasticized, and then I create on it, and I light it from behind.
Mm-hmm.
In front of it, I paint behind it, and that's how I create a message, if you like, or a translucent window into an illuminated world. Out of that, then I made an application to the Kent Farndale Gallery in the Scugog Memorial Library on Water Street in Port Perry. And the jurors of that particular gallery said, yes, I could come and show my faith. And I called it a show of faith, and I said to folks there, here's what I believe. I believe that instead of washing out what artists believe and attempting to look at their art without their belief, that in fact, artists through the ages, and here's another historic mentor, Albrecht Dürer.
Mm-hmm.
Albrecht Dürer is creating Night, Death, and the Devil, among other marvelous works during the Reformation. But no one's in high school or elementary school looking at the man's heart and the despair of his heart when he thought that Martin Luther had been killed. And yet out of that comes all this incredible artwork.
Yeah.
So I'm saying in the public marketplace today, please do not separate the artist and what they create from the artist and what they believe, because everyone creates out of belief.
And for those of us who are Christians, Albrecht Dürer's The Praying Hands is one of the is one of the images that we have sort of tacked onto and claimed as one of our own. And that's something that people often don't understand who the artist was behind that. And there's even a story behind that where there was a choice with Dürer and a friend of his as to who was going to do art, study art, who was going to do menial labor, and Dürer was the one that was chosen. When he came back, he saw the hands of his friend who had gone from being the type of a hand that could create art to one that had been worn by physical labor. And he used that image as a symbol of what God can do in both cases.
Yes, and the beauty of historic lives is that now we can join the writing and the artwork. But in the public arena, in public schools, in university centers, we have often separated the two.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying now, look, if you look in the mirror and you do not believe there is anyone higher than yourself, then in fact you're looking at God, because you have made yourself God. We have the privilege of choosing that. I will not argue or debate whether or not we have the right to choose it. God gave us the free will to do that. What I will say is, show me your faith then. Show me how your belief in yourself creates art, and how is your art imbued with your faith.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe in many gods, it impacts how you create. And for me, I believe in one true God, and that in community, in our common unity, in our place where we come together in public spheres of multiple backgrounds and beliefs, I want to make sure that I am not dishonoring to people who believe different than I do, but in fact make provision that I would have the privilege to share, and I would likewise have the responsibility to hear or to see what other folks create.
Well,
not to war with them, but to say, here, I have this platter of faith in what I create. Are you interested in tasting any of this? And wow, look at what you're creating. Look at the skill of it. Look at the design of it. Look at your background in it. What were you thinking when you made this? And I use art as an entry point for dialogue. So that is the point of a show of faith. And the arts community in Durham region here, and specifically in Scugog Township or Port Perry, where this show will be, have given me permission, and it's an incredible privilege to then say, here's the artwork. God willing, I will have a text beside each one that explains what it is for me. That doesn't mean I get to force that belief on anyone else, but it's an invitation to come and see.
Mm-hmm. Well, we need to take a really quick break, and when we do, we'll come back and finish a conversation with artist Patty Kingsley. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
Top a river in the canyon, a vastness that took my breath away. Then it quickly disappeared and hid within the shadows. Changed its shape there for another day. It creeps on up into your room and steals into your dreams and unlocks all the doors into the palace. Now a clear and sparkling pool, sometimes a muddy stream. Then again it's often this bright sadness.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to This Bright Sadness, the title track of the Glenn Soderholm CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with Patty Kingsley. Patty, just quickly, we've got a quick couple of minutes here. Where can people find out more information about the exhibit in Port Perry?
They can find out information from the Scugog Memorial Library website. They can Google Kent Farndale Gallery. They can contact me at P as in Patty, B as in Bob, K as in Kingsley at simpatico.ca.
And Kingsley with an E-Y, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
K-I-N-G-S-L-E-Y. They can contact the ministry arm, charitable arm, that department that I'm under at actinternational.org, looking up 180180art.com. 180art is the ministry name. I'm on Fine Art America. Patty Kingsley's on Pinterest. Also on Facebook, my Facebook page is P as in Patty, L as in Lynn, B as in Bowman, K as in Kingsley, : Patricia Lynn Bowman Kingsley. And that is my public Facebook page where people can find information about A Show of Faith.
Great. Well, Patty, thanks very much for your time tonight.
Thank you so much, Robert. I appreciate the opportunity to share my heart.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection today. Thank you to my guest, Patty Kingsley. Be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.